You will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness,
adding value, showing that you have value,
to the downside of venture capital.
You will not own the company.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO and today's guest host.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Tough Things First podcast. And I've got a question for the audience right off the bat. Have you ever been fired? I know I have. Never a pleasant experience. And believe it or not, the longest serving CEO in Silicon Valley got canned once, and that really set his career in an entirely new direction. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, is a traumatic event like this, is getting fired an opportunity for people in general and entrepreneurs in particular. And so welcome back, Ray Zinn, the longest serving CEO in Silicon Valley. Howdy, Ray.
Hey, Guy. How you doing?
Oh, man, it's a fantastic day here. I hope everything's well with you.
It is. It is. But let me correct something, actually. You said I was only fired once. Actually, I was fired many times. I mean, four or five times. As Tom Peters says in his book, In Pursuit of Excellence, if you're not getting fired, you're just not trying hard enough. So that's something that, you know, has caused me problems over the years, is that, you know, pushing hard on getting things done, that sometimes ruffles feathers, and so I ended up getting terminated quite a few times. But the one you're referring to is when I left my prior company just before forming my Krell. I had just invented the wafer stepper and caused a lot of problems within the company, and they said that to me, you know, you really don't belong in a company. You need to go start your own company. And so I remember going home and telling my wife, I said, that's it. I'm had it. I'm not going to work for anybody ever again. I'm going to start my own company. So she said, well, what kind of company is that going to be? And I said, I don't know yet. We'll figure it out. So anyway, since July of 1976, I never worked for anybody again, except for myself.
You know, and there's such a joy in working for yourself. And I love that Tom Peters quote. I've ruffled more than my share of feathers over the years. And I think I sense the same thing you do. You know, you have a vision, you see the way things ought to be going. And once in a while, you're in a company which just isn't moving as fast as you are, or thinking ahead of the game as much as you are. And it's a real indicator that you need to be in a different place. Does that make sense? Is that really a right way of looking at that?
It can. I mean, it depends upon, you know, your circumstance, and it varies from individual to individual and company to company. So it all depends. Every situation is different. None of them are exactly the same. But one point I want to make as we're talking about, you know, what it means to be fired. It doesn't mean that you're a failure. It doesn't mean that you're not really a productive person. It just means that you didn't fit in. You know, somehow or another, that was a round peg in a square hole, and so you just didn't work right within that particular environment. So, you know, what's good for one is not necessarily good for another, and we need to find, you know, where we fit in, as they say. Now, sometimes people leave on their own. I mean, they do go out and look for other jobs. Statistics show that our decision-making process is no better than 50-50. In other words, you might as well just flip a coin and say, what should I do, heads or tails, you know? And so when you decide to leave and on your own and go out and look for a job, you know, you have to watch out, because your decision-making process is only good as a flip of a coin. Now, on the other hand, if you're fired, or if you are forced to leave through a RIF or whatever, that was forced upon you. So, you know, it wasn't like you're flipping a coin. You're actually now having to go out and now be more prudent in the way you search for another position. So, as the saying goes, you know, when you close one door, you open another window. It's kind of like, you know, if you go to the doctor and you find out you got this horrible disease, and he tells you to go on this particular regiment to solve the problem, whether it be sugar diabetes or whatever, you end up actually being healthier by having these circumstances come your way. And my experience is, and over the thousands of people that have worked for me, whenever they've left on their own, they ended up doing worse than when they were forced to leave. In other words, when you're forced to leave, you end up doing better than just if you had to do something on your own. And so that's what my experience has shown, is that when you have to do something, not that you want to, but when you have to do something, you end up, it's more beneficial. You end up turning out better than it would have otherwise been had you just chose to do it on your own.
Right, right. And well, and that makes a lot of sense, because it forces one to think about their options, whereas when people leave, they already have one option in mind, and they don't take the time to look at everything that might be on the table in front of them. Which brings up a great question. We already said, you know, some people, when they face termination, they go out, they start their own business. Other people just find a better fit, a different company, you know, where their attitudes, you know, find a better home. What other opportunities are out there, you know, when one finds themselves suddenly unemployed? Yeah, I mean, aside from having a lot of free time on their hands.
Well, it's, again, varies from person to person. Sometimes you have to change careers. Maybe you have to move. Sometimes moving is having to leave one state to another or one city to another. Might be just the thing that either helped your family or your children, or it's it all depends. You know, it's something that we need to consider when we do make a change, is what impact that's going to have on my family. You know, sometimes moving teenagers from one high school to another is not good, because they lose their friends, and then they have to make new friends, and it can be good and it can be bad. So it depends upon, you know, each family circumstance is different.
One thing that I've encountered with other people who have been terminated is occasionally they get followed by a bad employer review. You know, if you don't get along with your boss and your boss doesn't get along with you, they may not give you the best write-up in the world if a new employer is doing an inquiry. So how does a terminated employee, you know, turn this sow's ear into a silk purse? How can they turn that negative into something positive when they go out on a job interview?
Good question, Guy. So statistics show that most employees leave because they didn't get along with their boss. And, you know, they and their supervisor didn't connect well. So whether you stay on and your boss is still going to give you a bad review, whether it be that you stayed on with the company or whether you leave. And so most employers know and understand that supervisor is the main reason, one of the main reasons why employees are dissatisfied with their job. So it's not something, you know, they don't have to contact your supervisor. You will list other references. And maybe clear from, let's say, one of your other references is from your previous company, and they also understood the situation with you and your boss or the boss himself, and they can correct that. So make sure that when you do go out and you look for a job, you have multiple references so that you're not necessarily tied to one particular reference.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Multiple references at least helps the new employer triangulate a little bit and clear, you know, maybe some discontent off of there.
And avoid talking bad about your supervisor. That's another thing that you want to do. Even though you may not like him or get along well with him or her, you know, don't talk bad about him. Just say that, listen, you know, I'm sure that they are a great individual, and they, you know, they had their view of the way things should be run. But don't say anything bad about it. Don't ridicule them or badmouth them. Just say that we just didn't fit. You know, we just, you know, things didn't click. You know, I mean, they're good people, and unfortunately, it was a round peg in a square hole.
I've got to imagine if you're in the hiring position and you have an employee candidate who's saying pleasant and nice things about the former supervisor, and the former supervisor is, you know, throwing a nasty attack into the fold, you kind of get the impression that maybe the supervisor was the problematic element. So let's talk about motivation. I had a friend. He spent 30 years in the tech industry, and of course, you know, slowly turning into an old man, he finally got fired one day. And he did not have a motivation problem because he always wanted to become a chef. And so he immediately enrolled in a culinary academy and, you know, has been a happy fellow ever since. Not everyone has that, you know, kind of predestiny in mind. So what should somebody do to keep their motivation up when they do get fired? I mean, assuming that they don't already have, you know, a life plan on the plate in front of them.
Well, you know, the old saying, you know, today is the first day of the rest of your life. You know, you just take it as a win. In other words, say, listen, this is a great deal. This is a chance for me to start over and get a fresh start. So look on the positive side that they opened a door for you. They said, here, you know, we're going to give you an opportunity to try something else. And so look at it as really an opportunity as opposed to being a problem or a challenge.
Yeah, and that's tough to do initially, but I think if one puts their brain around it and realizes that the future is always unfolding in front of them, then it seems less of a problem. Well, anyway, thank you, Ray. This has been enlightening on many different fronts. In Silicon Valley, people change jobs a lot and people do get fired, but there's always a new opportunity in Silicon Valley and anywhere else in the world. So for the listeners, I hope that you take all this advice at heart and maybe even think about starting your own business like Ray did when he ran into an unemployment situation. And by all means, if you have not read Tough Things First, make it a priority to click on Amazon.com and get a copy of the book. You'll get Ray's full story on how selling a bunch of non-existent technology to Texas Instruments led to him founding his own company after a quick dismissal, and a lot of other great stories that give you some keen insight into what it really takes to be a great entrepreneur. And also, don't forget to rate and review the Tough Things First podcast on iTunes and Google Podcasts or wherever you are consuming your podcast content. So thanks again, Ray, and you have a wonderful afternoon.
Remember, losing your job is not the end, it's the beginning. So don't lose heart if you have to make a change. Look at it as a new beginning as opposed to an end. And thank you, Guy.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.